22. Genesis chapter 22 is where we're going to find our text this morning. And once you find your place there, if you're able, let's stand together as we prepare to read the Word of God. We're going to pray, and then we'll read our text this morning. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace again this morning, we're thankful for the time that we have together. We pray for those who are not able to be here, that you'll be with them, that you'll help them. Lord, I know there are many who are sick, many who are hurting, and we just pray for your grace and your mercy in them. We pray for those that are traveling, that you'll just watch over and protect them and bring them home safely. And Father, we pray now, as we approach the Word of God, that you would remind our hearts and minds that this is your very Word, that your Holy Spirit would guide us, teach us all truth, that you would convict our hearts, Lord, and help us to take whatever step we need to make in obedience to you, to have faith, to grow in faith, to grow in your grace and knowledge. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you. I pray you'll bless your word in spite of me, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 22, verse 1. Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Amen. Please be seated. If you've studied the Bible at all, if you've been through the Old Testament, you've no doubt read Genesis 22. Maybe it's a little bit new for some of you, but this may be one of the craziest accounts in all of the Bible to me. And there's a lot of details here that are really important for us to understand. We want to make sure that we rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. When we come across something that maybe on the surface seems to be a contradiction, we want to dig into that because there are no contradictions. There are what are apparent contradictions, but when you study a little deeper, you're going to find that God's word is true everywhere, all the time, and always in perfect harmony. And so last week, we spent some time in Genesis, and we looked at Genesis 3:15, when God said, I will put enmity between thee, the serpent, and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And we looked at the first gospel that even though God created everything in perfection, man sinned against God, brought death and sorrow into the world. But even then, in the middle of the curse, God gives a promise. There was a promise in the midst of the curse that he was going to send one, the seed of the woman, the virgin-born Messiah, would crush the serpent, and in the process he would be bruised. We can go right over to Isaiah 53, and Jesus Christ was bruised for our iniquities. Amen. And in the process, he defeated the one who had the power of death, even the devil. And so we looked at all of that, and I want you to see at the end of Genesis 3, verse 21, it says, Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You guys remember Adam and Eve tried to make coverings for themselves. What did they sew together? Fig leaves. So they made themselves aprons to cover themselves with fig leaves. But when God showed up and brought all the curse, he clothed them with skins. So what happened? Blood was shed. An innocent life was taken, blood was shed to provide a covering for them. Amen. Guys, all of this is a foreshadow. It's picturing Amen. The reality that a sacrifice has to be made to cover our sins. Amen. In world religions, we try to cover up our own. We try to make our own covering for sin with our good works, with what we can do. And God says it's not good enough. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so God killed an animal, shed its blood, and covered them. It doesn't say what animal it was, but I'm just going to speculate that it might have been a lamb. Amen. And that seems very consistent with what I see all through Scripture. Amen. And so we come to Genesis 22. A lot of stuff's happened. God had promised Abraham that he would have a son. He promised him a seed and those who would inherit the land and a people. And we might remember that he and his wife kind of went around God's design. They didn't wait on the Lord. They tried to do their own thing. And by the way, not waiting on God, never a good idea. Amen. It's always better to wait on the Lord. Amen. And so God did fulfill his promise. Sarah, in her old age, when it was impossible for her to have a son, she did have a son. Amen. and God was going to fulfill his purposes and his plans. And so some times happened, some times passed since Isaac was born, and now we come to 22, and God is going to tempt Abraham. Now, I want you to pay attention to verse 1. This tempting is not the way we use the word tempt. This is testing or proving. And it's important to test something to make sure that it's good and right, isn't it? Anybody ever drive over a bridge? Anybody ever glad that the bridge holds up? Anybody ever get annoyed when you drive over the bridge and it's under construction? Yeah, right? It's annoying, but guess what? I always try to temper that with gratefulness because I'm glad that they're testing it. One of the things they do is they block off a lane, they get up underneath there, and they test the steel to make sure it's good. They want to test it. They want to prove it. They want to check its integrity to make sure it's going to hold up when you drive over it. That's a good thing, isn't it? And so God is testing Abraham. He doesn't tempt him because we understand that God never tempts anybody to sin, right? Okay. James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So here it says God doesn't tempt anybody, but Genesis says that he did tempt Abraham. So what is it? Well, we just need to understand what the words mean. Here in Genesis 22, the word test means tempt means to test or to prove. And in James, he's talking about temptation, the way we normally use the word, to be tempted unto evil. So God tests him. And sometimes it doesn't make any sense what God wants to do. And that happens in our lives sometimes. God's doing things and we're just like, God, I don't understand what's happening. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why my life is the way it is. These circumstances are the way they are. But friends, God always knows what's best. Amen. And you can trust that he's going to do what's best in your life. Abraham's faith was tested. Now, that might be a little confusing, and I understand that. Did God know what Abraham was going to do before he tempted him? But he did it anyway, right? So that testing wasn't so much for God to figure out what Abraham was going to do, but it was for Abraham. And it was for you and me today. Because these things were written for our learning. So it was for him, and it was for his family, and it's for everybody who comes after him to understand the faith that he had in God. Hebrews 11:17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he had received him in a figure. And so Abraham believed God. He didn't know how God was going to work it out, but he had faith and was willing to offer up his son. Okay? So Genesis 22, God says, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac. As a side note, I want to tell you that when it says only son, I know immediately you're like, what about Ishmael? Wasn't that his boy too? He was his son. He was the son of the bondwoman. He was not of the promise. So when it says his only son, it doesn't mean the only son he ever had. It means his only promised son. Amen. It means he was a unique son. It means he was the son that was set apart by the promise. So not only in the sense like that's the only one you got, but only in the sense is he's the only promised son of God, unique, set apart. It has to do with the idea that Isaac was sanctified and set apart by the promises of God. Now take him, your only son. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And by the way, these mountains of Moriah are the very same mountains where God would send a plague and King David would buy a portion of land and he would offer a sacrifice there. Those same mountains where the temple would later be built. Those same mountains where one of those mountains is called Mount Calvary, where Jesus would be sacrificed. So I'm going to send you to these mountains, and I'm going to tell you exactly where I want this to happen. And verse 3, back in our text, says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Now, we could make jokes about this. If God said, I want you to kill one of your kids, would you get up early to do it? No. We might joke about it, but in reality, we're not going to be in any hurry to go do that, right? I want you to sacrifice one of your kids. I want you to sacrifice the son of promise. He gets up early to obey God. What a testimony. What a testimony that he is willing to do what God calls him to do, and he's willing to get up. He gets up early. He gets everything together, and he cuts the wood for the burnt offering. He gets everything together, some of his servants, and he takes Isaac, and they head out to go. And it takes them 3 days to get there. On the third day, he gets to the place where all this is going to go down. I can't help but notice the third day. That kind of stands out to me. How about you? And we were getting ready for Easter. We're thinking about Jesus, and we know that he was crucified, and on the third day, he rose again. And so here he is. This death is looming, like death is coming, but even then, we start to see some glimmers of hope in what God might do. So he goes to the place on the third day. He lifts up his eyes and he sees the place. In verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Amen. This is the faith of Abraham. Now, most of you know the rest of the story, but I want you to know this. Abraham fully believed that he was going to have to kill his son, Isaac. He believed that they were going to go up and, by the way, he calls it worship. But he also believed that they would both come back down the mountain together. What faith. What great faith Abraham had in God. So he was willing to give up that which he loved the most. He was willing to lay it down for Jesus. He was willing to give everything. And aren't you thankful that God was willing to give everything for you? Amen. Does anybody here know John 3:16? You familiar with that verse? Amen. Y'all just tell, what does it say? Help me out. Man, that was so good. And all together. And but everybody knows it, right? For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only son. Guys, the pictures of God's sacrifice for us and Abraham and Isaac, it's just everywhere you look. Every verse is just dripping with Jesus. It's all about him. The third day he gets there and he's willing to sacrifice him. I and the lad will go up and then we'll come again. I want to take a second to just talk about how old Isaac was. We know that he's not a child anymore. The Hebrew word here used is lad. It's used a couple of other places. When it refers to Ishmael being a lad, we know for sure he's 17 years old when it says that. So not a baby anymore, not a little boy anymore. We know he's somewhere, there's a pretty broad range. He has to be older than 5 for sure, but he could be as old as 30. I know that's a big window, but somewhere between 5 and 30 is how old Isaac is at this time. More likely, he's probably somewhere between 14 and 17 years old. Don't know for sure, but I know this. He was big enough to carry the wood for the sacrifice. So he's not a little kid anymore. He's a young man. And so there they go. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Look at verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Here they are at Mount Moriah, the same place where the temple would be built, the same place where Mount Calvary was, and you have the only son carrying the wood for the sacrifice. You guys get the picture? Man, I mean, it's going to be hundreds of years later, but Jesus is going to take the cross, amen, the wood, amen, where he would be sacrificed, and he carries it on his back, amen, up to Golgotha. Man, what a picture. Amen. And you know, it's amazing because Abraham, he had no idea. Amen. Isaac had no idea, but you know God looking down knew. Amen. And Jesus looking down knew. Amen. Knew. I can't help but wonder if he didn't see. He knows the beginning from the end, right? The end from the beginning. He knows it all. Amen. You imagine Jesus looking down at Abraham and Isaac trudging up the mountain, and we don't know exactly that Isaac's steps didn't go in the exact same places that Jesus's did. carrying the wood for the sacrifice. I'm going to tell you this. Friends, we need to be willing to lay down everything.
Amen.
We need to be willing to give all of ourselves to the one who gave all of himself for us. Here's a key verse. Verse 7. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the lamb? Now, we know that Abraham knew exactly how to do this. He's going to go up top of the mountain. He's going to build an altar. He'd built altars before. He knew how to do that. There's going to be wood. There's going to be a sacrifice. He's got the knife to slit the throat of the sacrifice, to shed the blood. He knows how to do an offering. It's kind of neat to me because how did he know? We know about Cain and Abel. They had sacrifices, and Abel had a more righteous sacrifice than Cain did. And how did they know? God showed them. Amen. We know that Noah, as soon as he got off the ark after the flood, the first thing he did was build an altar, and he gave a sacrifice to God. So these people knew how to give a right sacrifice to God. Before it was codified in the law, they knew how to do that. And so here Abraham goes. He knows how to make a sacrifice. And not only that, Isaac knows. You got to have an altar. You got to build it right. You got to have the wood for the burnt offering. You got to do that right. You got to have the fire, because apparently they didn't have any Zippos or Bics back then, right? So they had the fire. They had the wood. But then he's like, "Listen, Dad, I don't know everything, but I know we need a lamb. So where is the lamb? Where is the lamb?" And I think that's a profound question.
Amen.
There has to be a sacrifice for sin. There has to be bloodshed for remission.
Amen.
There has to be a life given. A life has to be given. Death is the payment that's required.
Amen.
Where is the lamb? Aren't you thankful today that you know where the lamb is?
Amen. Praise God.
It's one of my favorite accounts, John chapter 1. Really, it's kind of silly to say that. I kind of like all the chapters in the Bible, but I love John chapter 1, all of it, but when John the Baptizer stands up and he says, Behold, the Lamb of God,
Amen.
Which takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
It's pretty cool to go back and read Isaac's question, Where is the Lamb? When I know what John would say later, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
I've read Revelation when it says there's not anybody worthy to open the scroll, but the Lamb comes.
Amen.
A Lamb that was slain, the Lamb whose blood was shed to conquer death and hell. We know who the Lamb is. Where is the Lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said in verse 8, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. God will provide himself a lamb. Now, I know that in the original it just says God himself will provide a lamb, but I kind of like the way it's worded here.
Amen.
God will provide himself a lamb.
Amen.
God will provide himself a lamb. He's going to give. He's going to give it. He's going to make a way. And so they go to the top. They come to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there. And laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. They build an altar. That means they stack stone without cutting it. And it probably would have taken some time. They stack up the stone. They make it high. Then they lay the wood in order so it will burn right.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And by the way, that takes some skill, doesn't it?
Right.
Can't just throw it on there. You got to do it right so it'll burn properly. And then he ties Isaac up and lays him down. Now, Abraham's like 111 years old or something. And Isaac is probably at least 14 years old, maybe a little older. I just want to ask you a question. Do you think that Isaac was a willing sacrifice? Do you suppose that he could have fought off his dad if he wanted to? Do you suppose he could have ran away? Yeah, absolutely. Guys, listen, he was willing to lay down his life.
Amen.
In obedience to God. Our Savior was willing to come and lay down his life.
Amen.
I lay down my life and I take it up again.
Amen.
You remember when Pilate looked at Jesus and said, don't you know that I have power to kill you or to set you free? You remember that?
Amen.
And Jesus says, you have no power except what my Father has given you.
Amen.
No, you have no power. When his disciples wanted to fight back before they arrested him. Don't you know that I could call legions of angels
Amen.
To deliver me?
Amen.
Nobody took Jesus' life. Nobody killed Jesus. Jesus
Amen.
Laid down his life.
Amen.
So here we have the willing sacrifice. He's willing to lay down his life. So there he is laying on the altar, laying on the wood on the altar. And verse 10 says, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son.
Amen.
I don't want to be too dramatic this morning. I really don't. But I can only imagine what this was like. Can you imagine what those 3 days were like? Riding along, going to this place, knowing? I can't imagine, but as they rode along, he probably had that knife at a sheath in his hip, and he probably would touch it somewhere along the way, just thinking about what he was going to have to do. For days, he was imagining what was going to happen. God was leading him to this place, and he was going to have to take the life of his son. And all the way up there, and all the detail of laying it all out, building the altar, laying the wood out, then tying his son up and laying him down. Listen, friends, I can only imagine what that was like for him.
Amen.
And now he takes out the knife, and he's ready to take the life of Isaac, his son that he loved. And he was willing to go all the way
Amen.
To obey God. But God stopped him.
Amen.
Verse 11 says, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me.
Amen.
And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son.
Amen.
Here's where the stories diverge, because God sent his only son into the world,
Amen.
But he never stayed his hand. Jesus died for our sins. But here the picture is, where we should die, God gave a substitute.
Amen.
And what a cool picture. Ram caught in a thicket. Okay, you guys remember in the beginning when God created everything perfect and he put Adam in the garden to till it and to keep it and everything was really good? Remember that?
Amen.
Do you remember one of the first things that's cursed when Adam sins? He says he's going to curse. God curses the ground and it's going to bring up thorns.
Amen.
You remember that?
Amen.
This word thorns and thickets, same kind of idea here. And now there's a ram caught in its horns in a thicket. You remember what kind of crown they made for Jesus before he went to the cross? Man, the pictures are just everywhere you look. It's pointing to Jesus everywhere along the way. So that anybody who were to pick up their Bible, the Old Testament, and read it in the days of Jesus and to look at him and who he was and what he did would have to look at it and go, man, this Jesus of Nazareth, he is the Messiah. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Savior of the world. He's the one and the only, and he's the only one who can be. Jesus wore that crown of thorns as he was our substitute for our sins to redeem us from the curse that brought the thorns into the ground in the first place. He's our Redeemer. He's our Redeemer. What great faith.
Amen.
Abraham had, what fear of God that he had. He takes the ram and offers it up in the place of his son. In verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen.
Amen.
Jehovah Jireh has a couple of different connotations to it. One is the Lord who sees, and also the Lord who provides.
Amen.
So he is the Lord, the God who sees and who provides.
Right.
Aren't you thankful that God has provided for us?
Amen.
He sees you. He sees your need.
Amen.
He sees your sin.
Amen.
And he loves you anyway.
Amen.
He sees your heartache and he gives you comfort.
Amen.
He sees and he provides everything you need. None of us could save ourselves.
Right.
And Abraham believed that God was able to raise him up again, but God had a different plan.
Amen.
And you understand today that he could have, right? He could have allowed Abraham to take Isaac's life and then raised Isaac back up again. He could have done that.
Amen.
But it was never God's plan for Isaac to give his life. It was God's plan for him to give his own life.
Amen.
Verse 15, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice." And if you read later in Galatians, you're going to find that it teaches that this seed is not seeds as of many, but seed as of one who is Christ the Lord. It is in Jesus Christ that all nations of the earth are blessed. It's in his sacrifice. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to trust.
Amen.
We need to trust in him. We need to understand that God will see us through. We need to trust. Now, I don't think God's going to ask any of you to sacrifice your children. And I would say this, if you hear any voices that are telling you to sacrifice your children, you need to seek professional help immediately. Okay? But I don't know what God might bring you through. I read a story. It's crazy just thinking about this message, getting ready for it. I read a story about a man named Harrison Okini, and he was off the coast of Nigeria in a tugboat at a oil platform, an oil derrick out in the ocean. I think they were like 25 miles out there, and a rogue wave hit their tugboat, capsized it, and it sunk. Everybody on board died except for Harrison. And somehow, at the bottom of the ocean, going through this ship in pitch black dark, he finds an air pocket. And he's able to survive there by sipping. He found a couple of bottles of Coca-Cola. For 3 days, he was in water up to his chest, in the freezing cold water, 100 feet below on the bottom of the ocean. And he said later when he was rescued, some rescue divers, they didn't come looking for survivors. They came looking for bodies. He said that his wife had sent him scriptures the night before he had read before he went to bed. And so the whole time that he's down there for those 3 days in the pitch black, he's singing psalms and praying to God.
Amen.
Psalm 54, I read for you just a couple of verses this morning. That's one of the psalms that he kept saying, "Save me, O God, save me." He's in that darkness. He's surrounded by death, the crewmates that were there. And the whole while, he is trusting in God to take him home. Can you imagine what it would be like in that darkness for 3 days? Can you imagine what it would be like to be in that place where you have no hope? Your only hope is God.
Amen.
I want you to understand something this morning, that without Jesus Christ, that's where you are.
Amen.
Absolute darkness.
Amen.
No hope.
Right.
Surrounded by darkness and death, and the only one who can save you is Jesus Christ.
Right.
Those salvage divers came by. One of them swam into the room where he was at. He saw the light. After 3 days of not seeing any light, he sees a light from a diver. And the guy swam past, missed him. And he came back. And the guy's on the radio. He says, "A body, a body, a body," because Harrison grabs him. But then he grabs him. And he said, "He's alive. He's alive. He's alive." This is what Jesus Christ can do for you.
Amen.
trust in Him, call on Him. Salvation can only come through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So this morning, trust in Him. And if you've never trusted Him, trust in Him today. And if you have trusted in Him, then glorify Him. Worship Him. Let's stand together. We're going to get ready to sing a song. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. Any decision you need to make for Christ, you come. He died for you and rose again. And He alone can save. And if you have been saved, you ought to give thanks. You ought to worship Him in spirit and truth. You ought to give everything to the one who gave everything for you. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. God is our helper. He is our Savior. Put your trust in Him. If He's calling you, you come. I'll be singing.
Page 524.